Baseball is back. It is opening day. Brewers, Cubs, what more could you ask for? This is Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
After all of the turmoil this offseason, after a condensed spring training, after a nasty lockout, after injuries and pulled hammies and everything in between, there is baseball being played today. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for making us Locked On Brewers your first listen of the day. Look, we're finally made it. It's opening day. I'm thrilled. Vinny is thrilled. And as you can tell by the title, today, Jeff Levering is thrilled, and he is joining us as the TV voice of the Brewers coming up in just a little bit. Let's get some news out of the way here, though, first. Yesterday, we found out who the backup catcher is going to be, and that is Victor Caratini. The Brewers made a trade for the Padres' backup, remember, former Cub, so it looks like he's going to make it to Chicago in time today to face his former ball club. Reminder, he was part of the Yu Darvish trade a couple of years ago that sent him to San Diego and a haul of prospects back to Chicago. But the Brewers sent Brett Sullivan, who was a candidate to be the backup catcher, and outfielder in AA Corey Howell to complete the trade. The Brewers also received cash considerations from the Padres. So it looks like Victor Caratini is slotted to be your backup catcher for the 2022 season. We'll dive into more in tomorrow's episode about what to expect from Victor Caratini, given today is opening day and it's going to be Omar Narvaez behind the plate. But just know this, switch hitter, 28 years old, from Puerto Rico. He's got more pop from the left side than he does the right side, but it's a backup catcher. It's not going to be as much pop as, say, a Manny Pena, but there is an opportunity here, kind of like Pedro Severino, in that his framing numbers and his receiving numbers can maybe be a little bit higher, and maybe there's a project in the works coming up for the Brewers catchers and what Omar Narvaez can spread and the coaching staff can spread to Caratini as he learns the craft behind the plate with the Brewers and how they do things out here in Milwaukee. So that was a trade number one. The second trade was more on the minor league side. Alex Jackson was acquired from Miami, a little bit of big league time for him last year. Also sent Hayden Cantrell and Alexis Ramirez, a pitcher. Cantrell, an infielder, and he's somebody that Brewers evaluators really liked, so I'm sure they're torn to lose him after a full year of development from him. But Alex Jackson's going straight to AAA since they just lost Brett Sullivan, so now he and Mario Feliciano will be splitting catching duties down in Nashville. So that was the other trade he saw as well yesterday. So with that out of the way, Jeff Levering is our guest today, and we couldn't think of a better guest. I mean, maybe Uke. I'm kidding. We couldn't think of a better guest to have to open up the season. They're at Wrigley Field. Him and Bill Schroeder, a.k.a. Rock, and Sophia Minert. Everybody's going to be down there. It's going to be a blast today on Bally Sports Wisconsin. We really hope you all tune in. Vinny and I really, really enjoy working with Jeff. It sounds, you know, you hear it all the time, like, oh, he's such a great guy. He's all this, like, when you talk about broadcasters, but it means a little more with Jeff. He truly is one of the nicest dudes I've ever come across in baseball. And you look at these broadcaster booths that we have here in Milwaukee between Jeff, B.A., Rock, Sophia, Dillard, Uke, Lane, now Josh, Vinny, Kashawn, Daria. I mean, these are all top-notch human beings, and I'm just so grateful to work with these people, and I'm so excited that opening day is back today. We are watching games that count, y'all, and we get to watch it with our friends, and we get to watch it with somebody that's just as excited as you. So I won't delay any further, but real quick, we're going to remind you that, of course, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline, our good friends at BetOnline. Look, they're our number one source for everything you need for sports info and betting needs and any of the odds, lines, and props. Look, it's Masters Week. Maybe you got one eye on the Masters app right now and also getting ready to watch some Brewers baseball. They've got everything going on BetOnline. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information. You can head to their website today, and you can learn more about the trends and get in on the action. They've also, if you got the last few seconds here before the baseball season begins, that there is some future stuff to bet on for over-under win totals. They've got who will be MVP, who will be the home run leader, things like that. So it's all at BetOnline, where the game starts. And now, please enjoy our interview with Jeff Levering. Happy opening day, everybody. There is a baseball game being played today, Jeff. How excited are you right now?
Man, I'm fired up because before all this stuff and before spring training, I mean, I'm sure for a lot of people, for a lot of fans, for players, for broadcasters, there were some dark times during that lockout. And a lot of swings of emotions where you thought there was some positivity moving towards a deal, and then it doesn't happen. And then a week later, you're thinking, ooh, it's going to happen, but no, they're going to cancel another week of games. And then you get to another dark place the next day, and then you wake up the following day. And it's like, okay, book your flight. You're going to Arizona in 48 hours. So, I mean, you just go through the swing of emotions, and to say that we're all here and there's going to be 162 games that begins today, I couldn't be feeling better.
Yeah, no, I think you share the same sentiment that a lot of us share, and it's like we can't wait for the season to start. And yeah, I mean, I thought at least we're going to miss a month, and here we are, we're playing, and spring training went by in a blink of an eye. And I think it was, what do you think about that shortened spring training? Personally, I love the fact that it was so short and it was quick, and everyone in and out, everyone's ready for the season. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it worked for everybody. I'd say the hitters appreciated it more than the pitchers did. And I think the fans get a lot more out of it too, to be honest with you, because they see the stars in there in day one. You think about a normal spring training, right? Whatever a normal spring training is these days, those stars don't play until maybe the second week and they get their 25 or 30 at-bats. Whereas this year, Christian Yelich was in the lineup in game one out of Camelback Ranch. He doesn't debut until 10 days into spring training at home in front of his fans. Now he's playing against Clayton Kershaw on the Dodgers because he needs to get his ABs. I thought the truncated thing was great for the hitters. I think the pitchers probably would have liked one more start. And had they known that they were going to camp maybe a week earlier, then they get that one start maybe offsite. But I think that this 18 games, 20 games maximum spring training is a good thing. And I think the players might try and make that a permanent thing moving forward.
And you had a lot going on as far as on the broadcast side. Did you end up doing every game of spring in one way, shape, or form, or did you miss a couple?
So I missed a couple of games. There were some games early on where I was doing TV and Lane and Josh Maurer were doing the radio side of things. So I had a couple of off days. I think I did 14 of the 18 when all was said and done, seven on TV and seven on the radio. And Uke ended up missing a couple of games on the radio side too, because he was back and forth from Milwaukee and Arizona. But I did 14 of the 18, which I was just fine with. It allowed me to climb two mountains in one day, get some pool time. And it was great. It was a good spring.
We'll get into that too, for sure. But yeah. I wanted to just follow up with, for folks who aren't aware with what's going to go down this year, at least in the TV booth, as far as the division of games, how did this come about where you are taking the lead as far as the majority of games this season with Brian Anderson?
So I'm very fortunate to be in the situation that I'm in, Dom and Vinny, and I was very fortunate last year to have done 40 games on the television side. During the pandemic season, I did 10 games because Matt LePay, who had been doing our games forever for the last 8 years prior to this, needed to do Badger football, and he was not able to do that, which opened the door for me to do a little bit of television on our side. Nobody was traveling. So I was very fortunate with that. And now with Brian and his star being as bright as it is, with Turner and CBS and everything else that he's doing, he's limited to only doing 50 games for the Brewers. And he wants to continue to do the Brewers. And I hope he does it for as long as he wants to do it and as long as the Brewers will have him. But the way that everything shook out this year with everybody being on the road again, Matt LePay decided to stick around at Wisconsin and focus his concentration there. Which led me to do some more television on the road, which is great. Some home games too. So it's going to work out with BA doing his 50 games, and then whatever games he's not on, I'll get to fill in on the television side, which ends up being the majority. And then for every other game, I'll be on the radio with either Uke or Lane, whether it's on the road or at home. So that's kind of how it's going to work out. You're kind of stuck with me for 162, whether it's on the TV or on the radio side, but I've been doing that for the last 8 years, and I couldn't think of a better organization to be a part of.
Well, you're so humble. You say that, you know, you're so fortunate to be in this situation, but make no bones about it. I mean, I enjoy listening to your calls, Jeff, not to make you feel awkward or anything. I mean, you're very, very talented.
Thanks,
sorry about that. But you're very talented. And look, in between the two of you guys, I can have you. I was almost thinking about having like a call off. See, you know, like play a clip and see who can do make a better call on the clip. Anyway,
Jeff
we'll
wins.
Do that for another show.
Dom would win. Dom would win
Jeff
for
wins.
Sure.
but this is going to be a show for sure. But anyway, I wanted just to get your kind of the background of where it all started for you. We usually like to ask this at the top of an interview, but you know, we're in the middle of it here now. And how did it all come about? Where did you start? Enlighten us a little bit on this.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of I'll do a Cliff Notes version of it. You know, I play college baseball, Division III college player, much like yourself, Chapman University. We missed your loggers by just by a year, unfortunately. you graduated in 03, and then we played against you guys in 04 as I was a junior. So I missed you. I played college baseball and at 5'10 and didn't really have a position, could hit a little bit. I knew that it was not going to work out for me in the professional ranks. I majored in broadcast journalism, and as soon as my college career, I had an internship at Fox Sports West and Prime Ticket in Los Angeles. And as soon as I graduated, all those things happened within like 7 days of each other. A routine fly ball to left field in Appleton, Wisconsin is how my college career ended too in the College World Series. So fitting that I ended up at the Brewers in the big leagues. But, you know, my internship ended, they ended up saying, you know what? They didn't tell me to stop coming in and my key kept working. So I just kept showing up. And then one producer after another hired me for different jobs. And then lo and behold, one day they need somebody to fill in at Angel Stadium. So I'm doing the radar gun and I'm running peanuts and notes up to Steve Fisiak and Rex Hudler. And I'm working in a big league stadium. And I started on the production side and I learned everything on the production side. And I had a blast doing it. And then an opportunity came up in high class A Rancho Cucamonga in 2006 to fill in on a couple of Saturday broadcasts. And I did that. I'd never had any radio experience.
Wow.
So I ended up doing that and didn't suck bad enough to where they just kept asking me to come back. There's another great story that involves that first broadcast, but you don't have enough time on the podcast. So maybe another time, but, so I ended up getting the job after that following season, was in Rancho Cucamonga for 3 years. We were on a station that was so small that you couldn't hear it unless you were in the parking lot of the radio station.
that sounds
night.
So minor league.
And it was. And I negotiated the deal. I mean, we had X budget. And I mean, I got the job in Rancho. And they said, oh, by the way, we don't have a job. We don't have a radio station. So this is what we have for a budget. Good luck. And this is the one radio station that gave us the time. And it was all Spanish all the time until we came on the air. And they had no idea what baseball was or what baseball radio was. And I'm really fortunate because I could make 140 mistakes over the course of that first season. And nobody was listening to it. It was pre-Twitter and all this other stuff. So I was really glad that that happened. I could try out all these god-awful home run calls and all these cliched things that I thought were so funny because I was trying to be great. And I wasn't, I was just trying to learn who I was. So they ended up hiring me back, which is great. For the 2008 season, I got better. I got better following that year, ended up getting a job in Double-A in 2010 with the Springfield Cardinals. It was between me and Aaron Goldsmith, who is the voice of the Mariners. Now I finished second in Frisco, which Aaron got, he finished second to me in Springfield, which is kind of cool. And that's how our relationship began, as, you know, colleagues in 2010. He leaves and takes the Pawtucket job in 2012, leaves and gets the Mariners job. I take his job in Pawtucket in 2013. And I was in Pawtucket for 2 years before getting the job with the Brewers, where I worked with Josh Maurer, who's now on the radio side, for 1 year in 2014. So kind of a winding road of 8 years in the minor leagues, from the West Coast to the middle to the East Coast, and then back to the middle with the Brewers. And it's been a wild ride ever since. And again, very fortunate to be in the situation that I've been in, to ride the coattails that I've been able to ride and just be in the right place at the right time with the right people. That's how it all kind of came about.
A beautiful story. And for a minor league grinder, for somebody that, you know, with minor leagues opening this week, AAA started on Tuesday, it's a great reminder that a lot of guys, even this last last few years of hiring cycles have been minor league guys making it up there. So it always makes my heart warm when I see guys that make it up there the right way.
Yeah, and I appreciate it too. And there are a lot of people that have, not to say that they haven't done it the right way. That's the wrong way to phrase it. But everybody has their own path. But to see the guys that have gone and done the minor leagues and been on the buses and done the 15 jobs and been pulled off the air to pull the tarp in the middle of the game or been asked to write a press release in the middle of the fifth inning of a game that you're calling. Or if you show up to game five of the championship game in Frisco, Texas, and the team didn't pay the phone line bill up until the championship game. So the phone line is not active. So you have to call the championship game over a cell phone. Like, these are things that kind of shaped me to who I am. And like, a rain delay in the big leagues is no big deal. These little things that happen over the course of a season are no big deal, because I have lived that life in the minor leagues, and roster changes and you're worried that it doesn't get to the league office in time and you feel like you're going to play with an illegal lineup card or whatever it is. You don't know a guy's active until he's getting loose in the bullpen in San Antonio. That's real life. Like, that is, I lived that life for 8 years, and I couldn't imagine doing it any differently, to be honest with you.
Does it get easier? So they say in the big leagues, the game gets a little bit easier, right? I know there's some truth to that, but that wasn't the case for me. You know, I hit 140 in the big leagues, but it, does it get easier? I mean, if you don't focus on the stage, which I did as a player, I can see that point, right? The batter's eyes are better. You can see the ball better. The lights are better. The fields are better to field a ground ball. So is that the same idea as a broadcaster?
I think it is. It does get a little easier. The stage is bigger. Yes. The lights are brighter. You are more exposed in this situation. So you better be ready for it. You still have to put in the work at the end of the day. Your preparation is still the preparation that got you to that point. You don't change that just because you get to the big leagues. I certainly haven't changed that. I would still be using the same scorebook that I used in the minor leagues if I didn't have to share one with Uke and pass it back and forth in the middle of a game, right? So, again, another story for another time. But it does get easier because you can just focus on one thing. You can focus on your broadcast for that particular night. You know the players. There's so much more access to the players. There's so much more information about the players. Where you're an A-ball, you are the information. If you don't go get that information, you don't have anything. Plus, you're doing the notes yourself, which is part of your preparation anyway. So in the big leagues, in one way, yes, it is easier because the access and the knowledge of the people that are there is so much more easy to obtain. But you got to be good. You got to be cognizant of what's behind you. I always am looking over my shoulder, even though I feel like I'm in a pretty good place. I know I continue to work hard and I continue to get better because I like my job. I really like my job. It's fun. And I hope I can do it forever. But it's just my attitude and the way that I play the game and the way that I watch it. But if I feel like I take my foot off the gas pedal, then it's going to be over for me. And that's the way that I grind. I grind with my foot on that gas pedal, and I never want to let it go.
Yeah, I think, and let me just follow up really quick. And that's why I think you probably see a lot of players try and break in, not necessarily as a play-by-play, but as color, because that sounds exactly like the path of a player. So that's kind of really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And it's hard for a player to jump in too, because you don't know the medium, right? It's hard to just jump in and know what the buttons do to make a broadcast work, right? Or when you should jump in or when you shouldn't jump in. People have been sitting in dugouts forever. I used to sit in a dugout in the minor in college or even in high school and just mess around and interview players and just try and be funny. And they're like, oh, I guess you could do that. But I didn't know what I was doing at that time. But it does take a lot of skill to do it and to do it right. And it takes time and repetitions and the opportunity to do that too.
Jeff's been a blast. We really, really enjoy having him on the show so far. Still more to come, but before we do that, I just want to remind you that this show is sponsored by Rock Auto. Look, there are so many makes and models these days, it's impossible for your local auto chain parts store to actually carry all the parts your car could need. You can even be interrogated, it feels like, sometimes when you're at the counter, you know, where they're a question like, oh, what is it, this model? Is it the SE? Is it the LSE? Is it four-wheel drive? Is it two-wheel? Look, enough. You know exactly what you need. They probably don't have it. They can click around on the computer all day long. You can go to rockauto.com today and get exactly what you need. Look, you can spend more at the auto chain store if you want. I mean, a 30%, a 50%, even double 100% markup if you go to a chain store as opposed to Rock Auto. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and they're a family-owned business that keeps prices reliably low for everybody who uses their site. So there's a great, it's a great, great website. I've told this before that we used it for a headlight. My sister just used it for a new windshield wiper. Just boom, super easy. If you go to rockauto.com and in their How Did You Hear About Us tab, if you say that Locked On sent you there, it would really help us out. So go to rockauto.com to see all of their selection. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at Rock Auto. Back to Jeff. I got a double-barreled question here. First question, is today going to be the coldest opening day you've ever called?
Close. I think it's going to be close. You and I and Vinny were on a text chain earlier about cold games. The coldest game I ever had was in Rochester in 2013. It was the first day I'd ever had a cup of coffee in my life. I will remember it vividly. And the wind is blowing off of Lake Ontario. It's snowing, and there are knuckleballers starting both ends of our doubleheader that we have to play. It was the first day I ever had a cup of coffee, late April, in Rochester. It was not opening day, but I think this might be the coldest opening day outdoors that I can remember. There's been some cold ones in Milwaukee, but with the roof closed, it's fine.
Second question is, how much fun is it to actually be able to complain about the cold because you're in person, because you're on the road? You and Rock are at Wrigley today. Take us through why this is so great and how much this really helps your job.
It's hard to put into words. And I was really fortunate last year on the radio side to travel with the team starting July 1st. So we, as broadcasters, we had to do a lot of hard work last year. And the people on the technical side even had a tougher job than we did. But doing a radio broadcast or even a television broadcast off of monitors is it's a skill. It really is. It's hard to do because you think about baseball and all the moving parts and all the people that could be moving at one particular moment. It's hard to capture on just one screen. So you have the multiple screens and you hope that those screens are all matched up and synced up video wise to what you're listening to. And 9 times out of 10, those things were not in symphony. So just think about that for a second as you're trying to listen to a radio broadcast and we're trying to fool everybody into the sights and the sounds of what's happening as we're watching the grass grow at American Family Field, physically watching it grow in front of us with the growth lights on, while they're playing in San Diego or in Los Angeles or something. So to be here, to feel what Wrigley's going to feel like, to see it, to touch it, to be a part of it. Wrigley went through this massive transformation with the press box. It's totally different. So Rock's going to walk in there tomorrow and he's not going to necessarily know what door he's walking into. He's going to see a deeper booth. He's going to see press dining that looks different. He's going to see actual heaters that work. Granted, he's going to see physical windows in front of him, not windows that you have to take out if you want to take them out and then they don't go back in. These windows actually slide and you can open them and you can close them. That's a brand new thing to Wrigley.
That's such a niche thing to know about, though, too. I think a lot of our listeners are like, what are they? Like, no, this is huge, huge, huge news.
Yeah, it's like the windows, they were either in or they were out. So if it was 70 degrees outside one day and then the temperature dropped like it does here in the Midwest to 50 or to 45 the next day, those windows weren't going back in. So you were done. You were totally done. So bring your thermo gear. I'm really fortunate. I'm glad the production team is back and they can be here to feel what it's like to be in the ballpark again, to be in these road cities. It's really important to be able to tell these stories with everybody in front of you, to be able to smell the old beer that's at Wrigley, right? The peanuts that you can hear crunching under people's feet, to hear Wayne Mesmer sing the national anthem and to actually see it physically and see the dormant ivy on the wall out Wrigley. I mean, it's going to be special tomorrow. And I think Rock will kind of downplay it a little bit, but there's going to be a piece of him that is really fortunate. He hasn't been on the road since all of his heart stuff too. So this is, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for him. It's a big deal for most of the broadcasters out there too, that, that they're back on the road.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Seriously, I am. I can't wait. I can't wait for opening day.
Are you guys in the camp of it should be a national holiday? I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, and I think everybody should play day games.
Yeah, I agree. There shouldn't be any night games. It should just be wall-to-wall day games on opening day. That's me. And kids shouldn't have to go to school. It should be a national holiday. That's me.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. So transitioning into the team, like, what do you think about this group? Obviously, there's not been a ton of moves. There's a couple of additions. But, I mean, really, like, the pitching is intact. One of the best pitching staffs I've ever seen. So, give us your rundown on what you think about the Brewers' chances this year, not only to make the playoffs, but maybe make a deep run into the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know, Vinny. I think they're going to stink, to be honest with you. Really bad pitchers, you know, no Cy Young candidates, really terrible bullpen. To be honest with you, this they have reverse jinx. This is – you couldn't say this about the Brewers organization for the last 50 years where it's built on pitching, right? It was always, okay, well, they're going to hit, but are they going to be able to pitch? I don't know. Now it's, well, are they going to be able to hit? They can pitch. They're gonna be awesome on the mound. They've got six legit starters, even guys in the minor leagues that are legit. Their bullpen is nasty with Williams and Hader and Boxberger coming back and Cousins and Suter and whatever you want to throw out there. It is awesome. The pitching staff is awesome. And if all things go well and everybody stays healthy, there's no reason this team shouldn't win the division. The offense is always going to be a question mark, and offense is just – it's tough in Major League Baseball right now, right? Even you look at these stacked lineups like the Dodgers or even the Braves or the Yankees, they have these stacked lineups, but they're going to go through tough times. Everybody's going to go through tough times. It's going to happen. That's baseball. And pitching is ahead of baseball right now in technology. I think the Brewers' offense is much improved from last year. Yes, there's some question marks, and you can go, well, it's going to be really good if this happens, or it's going to be really good if that happens. I think that they're going to be just fine. They're going to score plenty of runs. They're going to get plenty of wins against teams like the Cubs and the Reds and the Pirates. There's going to be dogfights against the Cardinals in the division. But I think that this team is really primed to do something special this year. I know all the prognosticators are kind of high on the Brewers and they're picking the Brewers. And I'm kind of like, guys, I kind of like this under the radar stuff. This is good, but they're so good. They're not under the radar anymore.
And they've earned that right though, too. And the fact is, I mean, with Willy Adames, we can talk about it till the cows come home. The fact that Willy Adames changed his team. But at the same time, I mean, you got to do radio for the postseason. And seeing everyone on the national media kind of look at Milwaukee and realize, wait a minute, all of these guys are back next year, and in theory, you get better. And the guy that I think of personally of, wow, he's back next year, and he was great this year, and should be better, is Freddy Peralta, and he's getting the ball in game three. You don't have to single out a single guy, but are there guys that you notice as far as from camp or even just from the end of last season that you feel maybe poised for something really, really good here in 2022?
I mean, it's really hard to say that Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddy Peralta can be better than what they were, right? I think a lot of people have said that, and it's hard to expect that from them. But for me, it's Adrian Hauser. I feel like he can be a really, really big piece this year with that sinker in either the four spot or the five spot. And if he throws off speed stuff for strikes, like, watch out. He can control a game. We saw it against the Royals, and granted, it was the last game of spring training, but he goes 60 pitches in six innings. He could do that against a big league lineup really easily because guys are going to be ultra aggressive against the sinker. But to me, it kind of hinges on Aaron Ashby. I feel like the dude is so good. He's so talented, and he showed great flashes of brilliance last year in the regular season or the postseason. I think he's got a chance as a swing guy to be something really special in the Brewers organization on the mound. I think offensively, even Luis Urias takes another step when he gets back healthy. I think Rowdy Tellez with more at-bats, if he stays in a positive mental outlook, I think he could have a really big season at first base too. The ballpark just fits him perfectly. And everybody's really high on Keston here, and I hope it shows up again. I really hope it shows up again. And he just stays mentally strong throughout the course of this season, because he could be a really big piece too.
And let's look ahead though too, because the other amazing thing about next year is that we get the chance to see everybody. You know, that the league gets to go wide, and that you get to see, is there a team, not necessarily because of like the Brewers are going to beat them, is there somebody that you really want to see next season that the Brewers would match up against in 2023? I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here on opening day, but it just popped up into my mind just now when you said that seeing more people are seeing our guys and it's getting out there.
Yeah, I love the balanced schedule, by the way. I think it's great that everybody's going to play everyone, and you just don't beat the crap out of each other in the division, yes, right? I think you should finish into the division. That's fine. Play a whole month in the division in September if you want to. But go out and see everybody else. It's kind of like playing the field, right? I mean, not that I've been married for 10 years now, but it's like, hey, let's get out there. Let's go see some things. I think it's great. I love seeing Ohtani. I love seeing Trout. I mean, the Angels – it's fun to see that team. You obviously want to see the Yankees just because it's the Yankees and they have the brand, and the Red Sox and the Brewers are going to face both of those teams this year too with interleague play. I love playing against Tampa. I think that's fun. That's a fun matchup. They pitch well. They do the little things right. They run a great organization. That's another team that I would want to see. And I hate to pick on the East, but man, are the Blue Jays going to be good or what? Holy that God. Offense and some of the pitching and oh my gosh, I could watch those guys all day long.
They are going to be really, really nasty, and it's crazy what they got going on north of the board, because you could see like it could happen for a long time up there too, the way they're currently constructed. But
those guys are young.
Yeah, they're really good. I'll leave you with a little more fun here as we get ready for opening day. Looking back to last year, we've asked everybody we've had on, and look, let me issue a my bad here, that it's taken us till opening day 2022 to get us on get you on the podcast here. We've got okay, Josh, the new guy, in his first week of arriving to the Brewers. We've had Sophia, we've had Brian, we've had Rock. We still need to get Lane. I think Uke has my message somewhere in there, but
I'm surprised you haven't interviewed my kid yet, man. I thought Brock was going to be on there at some point.
You know,
I
mean, he's been on Vinny's actually.
Demos. Vinny demoed his swing, Edwin Encarnacion Jr. Let's go, man.
But I want to ask you, what was your moment of the year last year? And I think I already know the answer to this because I was sitting right behind you when it happened. But what was your moment of the year last year?
I would say there's two. Number one's a Vogelback home run, the grand slam, which is just like, we were all sitting there going, man, this game stinks. There's nothing about this game that is good. And then they load the bases in the ninth inning and you're going, come on, they're not going to do this. They're doing this. This Vogie's doing this. I think that was number one. And then number two, to be in the moment when the Brewers clinched the division and to see the confetti raining down and to be sitting next to Rock and have you back there and Renee and to celebrate that with a cool Miller Lite when we signed off on the air and just have that experience, to have that call in that moment. That was really special too. And one that I don't take for granted. And it's not like I thought about what I wanted to say, but I'm really glad with the way that it came out, because they partied. And they partied hard, and they had a really good time, and they earned every second of it.
Well, let's make sure there's a lot more partying to come this year in 2022. Opening day, Jeff Levering, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you have a great call this weekend. Stay warm, obviously. Hopefully we stay dry enough over the weekend, but it looks like we're playing ball today.
Yeah, layers are up, fellas. Thank you so much. You guys are doing such a great job of the podcast. I listen every single episode. Keep up the good work, guys. And can't wait for a great 2022.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.